Oh, thank you, you five up there. Thank you for your heart. So we're on a journey together. If I didn't meet you, my name is Will. I hope we met everyone. But if not, my name is Will. And I'm the pastor because George said no. So he said he wouldn't do it. So they figured, oh, well, second best. I'll take it. But we're on a journey together through the book of Matthew. So grab your Bibles because I want you to see it yourself and not just believe me. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. Let's get started. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they'll go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Familiar scripture? So what am I supposed to tell you about it? Feed homeless, you know, like all of us should just have a homeless shelter. Maybe that's what God wants, is it? Be afraid, you might be a sheep or a goat. I don't know. So Lord, what is it? Well, first of all, let's just say this. Let me just say this. At a very practical level, what he says here is when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So we see what's happening. Is this talking about a previous event, a current event, or a future event? What would you think based on that? Future event. So I'm going to make that assumption. Are we on that together? Are we safe together? That I think, and it might sound obvious because you know the scripture so well, but I feel encouraged by God, if I could say that, to not jump ahead of that. Okay, so it looks like what Jesus is talking about is something that's going to happen when he returns with his angels in glory. Is that what they would call the white throne judgment in Revelation? Maybe. Is it something else? Maybe. I don't feel like God wanted me to answer that today for you. I know the theologians out there, I'm driving you guys crazy week after week, and you have better reasoning and excuses, but I have filled my head with all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't transform the heart. And so I ask God, what do you want to tell us right now? So that's how we're going to approach this. So I don't know when that is. I don't want to guess because it's not even that profitable for you that I tell you when. But it's going to happen, okay? Something that this is saying that we can't shy away from. You know me. I love grace and mercy. I need it. I need it. Ask my wife. I need it more than probably all of you, okay? But, okay, in the end, Jesus is coming back. This is happening again and again, week after week. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's gonna come back in glory. And it says these angels, whatever they are, okay? We can study that too, but that's not for today. They're coming back with him. And there's going to be some kind of judgment. And it doesn't mince words here. It's like, okay, enter into, you know, he says 1 week, enter into peace, enter into my joy. And then for you, you're going into some outer darkness with the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And today what he says is quite literally, he's just like, okay, so for those of you on the right that are the sheep, you're gonna enter into this inheritance, the kingdom that's been created for you since the beginning of time. And for you guys, the goats, on this left-hand side, he says to them, quite literally, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know, Will. I mean, I think everyone goes to heaven. Not what the Bible says, right? So can we be honest about that together? What does it look like? Is it a pointy-eared dude with a pitchfork and fire all around you and you're sweating a lot? I don't know, right? I don't think that's what it is. But clearly there's fire, devil, and his angels. They're going to be there, and the goats go hang with them. Not good. You don't want to go, right? Not good. Okay, so we're together. We're together. Yeah, it's going to be goat-filled today. And it says... It says he will separate the people. So when he comes, it says what he's going to do. And I don't know how to transliterate this differently and use the language to tell you it says a different story. There's going to be a separation that happens. And in this specific story, he's calling one goats and one sheep. There's going to be a separation that happens. It says all the kingdoms come before him and his throne. And then the people, right, one by one, we can't hide behind our spouse, our parents, our pastor, our Sunday school teacher, our elected officials. There is an individuality to our accountability. Well, thanks, Will. You're really making us feel good, man, about this life. This is a feel-good Hallmark type of Sunday. So I think we should probably ask more questions than we have answers. And so let's start with this one. Sheep and goats, question mark. Like what? What is the deal? Sheeps and goats. Sheep and goats. I said sheeps.
It's like fish.
Sheep. It's like fish.
Deer.
Moose, right? Well, anyone here has been or is currently a shepherd or a goat herd? No? Professional? See? So you guys, I'm gonna need to ask you some questions. I did some research on the internet. And I know, I got news for you. Here's a free tidbit, okay? Everything on the internet is not necessarily true. Okay, I know. Here, let's give you a minute to let that soak in. Okay. So I found some stuff on the internet, and so I need the help of those who shepherd. So sheep and goats, what I found is this. You and I, in North American eyes, we see sheep, we see goat, look very different. Maybe a little similar, but very different. And what I hear is, even currently in other parts of the world, what I read, and especially before we got into all this sort of genetic manipulation through breeding, they were very similar, goat and sheep. So one thing about it is they look very similar. Could that be said? Okay, maybe it could be said. Of course, you guys were doing this in the North American genetically engineered, breeded goats and sheep. Okay. Here's another thing I learned about that. One thing about sheep are very dependent. Goats are independent. Right? True? Cool. We're still tracking the same way. Now, the role of a shepherd is really about protecting the sheep from the things around them. Right? Don't let the wolf get in. Don't fall in that hole. Dumb sheep, I've got to make sure they don't wander off. Now, the goat herders, on the other hand, their role is to protect the environment from the goats. They'll eat about anything that they can get their mouth around. True? Okay. So this is just fascinating, you know, when I think about it. So the sheep are led by its shepherd. The goat herder is led by the goats. Yeah, where they go, he goes. Sheep or goats. So, you know, Bobby, Allie, would you guys come on up? I asked him ahead of time. I want to pick on him a little bit. I said, how do you feel about being picked on? So does one of you want to volunteer to be the goat? Okay. Ladies first. Ladies first. Would you stand here on the left? Okay. And just to play the part, here, this is goat and sheep-like, maybe.
We can.
Yeah, you could do it like that. You could just go like that, maybe. I don't want to mess up your hair, but I know you're a professional. There you go. Perfect. So, why do this? It's fun, right? Oh, man, I don't want to mess up your hair. See, I don't think about this because mine stays done. So here's what we have, right? We've got, hey, would you both just turn around for a moment? Turn around for a moment. Observe something for me, okay? Like, you've seen, but now from that, if I went like that cup trick with the ball under it and you went and spin them together, other than their height difference, they look pretty similar from a distance, right? Okay. You guys can turn around now. However, there is differences between goat and sheep. So what it says is when Jesus comes back on his left, he's going to separate goats, on his right, sheep. So here's what we learned about sheep, right? Sheep are what? Dependent. They really approach every situation like, help me, make me feel safe, make me feel good about myself, make sure I'm okay, right? That's sheep. They need a shepherd. Goats, on the other hand, they say, ain't nobody got time for that, is basically what they say. Get out of my way. They're not really concerned about the other goats or the guy who thinks he's protecting them when he's really just chasing them. Okay? So very different. So what you see is, and maybe, you know, so we could develop that metaphor. I think you could see where I'm going. Is there seems to be something. Why sheep and goats? Well, because what he's looking for is sheep. Those dependent, looking for a shepherd. Looking for someone that they can follow. What we are more often, it feels like, and I know in the end, I mean, we can argue about, you know, are things predestined? We could go there, but in the end, what I'm asking you today is, I'll tell you, Will a lot more acts like a goat. I want the good goat herder. That's what I want Jesus to be. I want him to go where I want to go. Make sense? I do that sometimes. This is what I want to do, God, so will you just keep me from destroying myself and everything around me as I continue to go eat and do what it is I want to do? I don't got time for that. Not you, not what the other people tell me, right? It's getting warm yet? You okay?
Nope.
Okay, good. Good. You're a good sport. What Jesus is looking for is those folks who surrender their will and fully trust a shepherd who goes before them and they go where he goes. Another question, though. So why the story of sheep and goats? I run automatically to works. I run automatically to works. I want to know, if you guys would come to the middle here, if you don't mind, come to the middle. Let's just give this picture. So this is how, as we come in, you know, we're here, right? We're here, we're present, and we feel like what this is telling us is using fear of burning in fire with Satan and his angels to make us choose both come to the sheep side, to choose the sheep. Yeah, both of you go over there. They want us, so you guys are doing so great. Give them a hand, guys, give them another hand. So they want both of us to come. This is how I've learned this. Make better choices so you become a sheep, right? Make better choices, do more things so that you can be a sheep and somehow earn your way to heaven. Now come back over to this side if you would. Getting your workout. So like, are you asking me, Jesus, to become more sheep-like from my goat position, to move more sheep-like? And then those other people, they want to argue about, okay, things are predestined from the beginning of time. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, okay? There's some mystery. There's some things that are not salvation-based issues, like people who believe both sides could go to heaven. Okay, there's certain things with that. But let me say this. If what Jesus is saying is things are predestined, and it doesn't matter what you do or what you choose, it's already decided. Sorry. Sorry, goat. It's really worthless for you, you know. Why try? Is that what he's saying? Okay, first of all, I have a hard time with all of that and arguing about all that, because I did spend 6 months once in a seminary class arguing about the Exodus. Really. Really, I'm arguing about the Exodus and archaeological evidence. Not that there's not a place for that, but people are lost, and those who think they're found are still lost, and we're hurting, and we're going to argue about this stuff. I don't want to go there. I mean, we can do that in Bible studies, but this is not where we're going to go this morning. But I want to know, why in the world would you even say that, Jesus, if you just wanted to say, you're in, dude, and you're not, right? Or if you're like, hey, if you do good, you're in. If you do bad, you're out. Then why even die, Jesus? Why did you even come and die? Why did you go through that if all that matters is how many homeless people I feed? Right? Why would he do that? I don't think that's what he's saying here. I mean, there's some mystery about that, right? Like, God is outside time, and I want to put him in a time constraint. As if God didn't know what happened before, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the future. He knows that he's outside time. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know. But this, I want to be a sheep. The sheep doesn't care. Take me where the grass is. Keep the wolf away. I don't care about the archaeological evidence in the mountain next to me. I really don't care about you initiating my mind in this, Lord. Care for my well-being and my soul. And the goat, they can be all distracted saying, I want to go where I want to do. I want to go and do what I want to do. And I don't care about you and all the other people around me. So I'll quit picking on you guys. Let's let you sit down. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Thanks, man. So, are you asking me to be a sheep, Jesus? Do I choose the right side or the left side? And I look at this scripture, and if I put it on an island as if this is the only thing Jesus ever said, I may take from that, wow, okay, feeding homeless, visiting sick, visiting those in jail, clothing naked people, that's what I got to do. And if I do that, then I get Jesus. The only problem with that is pretty much the whole Bible, right? Pretty much the whole Bible. I like this. In the Message paraphrase, it says this. He used Jesus' words like this. He said, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. And that is so true, guys. Let's not skip over it. That is so true. Feeding the people who are hungry, housing those who are homeless, taking care of those people, even talking to that person who sits by themselves. Looking somebody in the eyes and smiling at them. All these little things. Everything that you do. This is absolutely true. 150,000%, okay? Let me put it that way. I am this certain that is a good thing to do in the way to live. For sure, because the truth is what Jesus is teaching us. One thing is, when you do these things for other people, from a heart that you love me, and you're doing that to me, you're doing that to me. Everyone on the same page with me on that? Do we disagree? Well, so then how I become a sheep is through taking care of others. Well, the salvation of the sheep is not based on their work. It's said right there in the scripture, come you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. God's been at this. The scriptures say that the only way that we can love God is because he first loved us. It tells us that even while we were still sinners, that Jesus died for us. It says, you know, why would I continue trying to save myself when Jesus is the way. You see, the good works mentioned in the parable are not the cause of salvation, but the effect of salvation. Here, let's just all read that again. The good works mentioned in the parable are not the cause of salvation, but the effect of salvation. I mean, it's like what Jesus, it's like what's said in 1 John. 1 John 4:20. Goats, listen up. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Right? Isn't that what Jesus is saying? He's not saying, pretend you love your brother. He's not saying, white knuckle it to give money to charity. He's not saying that. Jesus, the whole time here, he's been attacking hearts. He goes, that is awesome that you don't cheat on your wife, man. That is awesome that you don't murder somebody. That's awesome that, you know, you don't steal $1 million. But do you have bent morals where you steal smaller things? Or do you constantly lust after other people, even if you don't cheat at your spouse? Do you have an addiction to pornography or sex? Do you have a problem with anger and flying off? Are you punching the wall just because you're not punching somebody else? Are you doing these things? Jesus is saying, I want you to look inward. I want you to see there, and I want you to question your motives. Because out of the heart, that's what comes out of your mouth is what's coming out of your heart. So if I'm anger's not the problem. Anger's the symptom. If I'm tired, a lot of times it's not even about sleep, right? Could be diet, it could be lack of exercise, it could be stress and depression. Sometimes your head hurts and you take an ibuprofen, but it wasn't the head necessarily. There's medical processes happening, and that's like this. What he's saying is, if you're like, you know what, I don't got time for anyone that feels left out or ununderstood. The problem is, what does that say about your heart? Oh, you're right, Will. I'm a bad person. Yeah. Like, no, it's not what I'm saying. Another interesting thing about this. So when Jesus is talking to the sheep, he says this. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Huh. I honestly never caught that before. So smarter people than me that analyze that, they say, that's interesting, because then you look at what he said to the goats. He said, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these. He left out brothers and sisters to the goats. Why? Well, that just means I just have to be nice to Christians and everyone who's not. I don't have to. I don't think that's what it means. But really, this is likened to what Paul is talking about the body of Christ. Like, I would love it, man, if you volunteer at the food bank or you work halfway houses and you do all these things and you give to the least of these and you sing to people in nursing homes and go to the children's hospital and all these things. It's really great. It's the heart of God that you would do that. But I believe we want to see the kingdom grown for God. We need to be aware of the brothers and sisters who feel left out. See, I believe, first time I've seen it like this, I believe this message is for the sheep. I believe this is for the sheep. Because what do the goats say? Ain't nobody got time for that, right? I don't care. As my kids used to say, they'd mix up, I don't care and it doesn't matter. What do they say? They say, I just lost it. What did they say, Brandy? It doesn't care. That's what it is. It doesn't care. That's what they would say when they were young. It doesn't care. And that's kind of what they say. It doesn't care. Like, I can't argue somebody who is a goat, right, to become a sheep. Because even if a goat who doesn't follow Jesus, who doesn't hear his voice, who's going his own direction, right, at a level, I don't think Jesus is trying to argue them into becoming sheep. And that's what you and I are thinking. Pastors like me are using fear to make you change your behavior. That's not what I want. I want your heart to be transformed. When your heart is transformed, you will notice, because you will hear from the one who notices. He will speak to you. He will direct you. He will guide you. But first things first is not going to the homeless shelter. You've got to be with him. He's got to be the Lord of your life. You have to be a sheep. You need to change your posture. What I think Jesus is saying to is it's a posture correction for the sheep. Jesus is going right after the heart of the matter. He's like, hey, I mean, sure, if you start to feel yourself acting like the goat, then I think it's time for this word repent that we use. And I'm guilty of throwing around church words, but changing your mind, changing direction, that's what this means. If you feel yourself, because you have this thing, which is a blessing and a curse called free will. Okay? Am I saying that there's people who are goats and don't know it? Maybe. Or people that think they're sheep and they're actually goats? I believe that's true. I definitely believe that's true. Would there be people that go to church that will go to hell? I think that's true. I think it's true based on what you see in the scripture. But for those people over here who just ignore Jesus and ignore who he is right now, that's not what this message is for. I mean, I hope they come to that salvation, and God knows because he sees outside of time how that's going to work. Maybe they really are sheep acting like a goat. But that's not the focus of this. The focus is you and I, the disciples who are there. He's no longer out in the crowds trying to get people to realize who he is. These are the people who have heard the message, who know who he is, and he's saying, listen, when it's over, beware, because the goats and the sheep, two very different fates. And so the message that God laid on my heart is for the lost sheep, right? Like me, the ones that I've got to change my mind here. I've got to change my mind here because it's so hard to tell by just looking at you whether you're sheep or goat. Well, what am I, Will? How do I diagnose? Well, if I look at the scripture, and I look at the evidence. In your life, is Jesus your shepherd? Are you looking this morning when you wake up, are you looking, where are you going, Jesus? And I want to follow you. Are you even talking to him? Are you even listening to him? Are you even praying for him? Or do you wake up each day with the agenda of your own? And what I want is this God who follows behind me and make sure I don't destroy myself or those around me. But Will, you're confusing me. I know. Because I think there's two messages. In the end, those who aren't saved, goats, those who are, sheep. How do you get there? Jesus. I don't know whether you have Jesus. What about the guy that used to be a Christian and now he's a Satanist? I don't know. That's Jesus' business. Not Pastor Will. When they changed my name, they didn't give me that discernment. I don't know which one of you are just pretending to be sheep, right? What does a sheep say? Right? What's a goat say? How would you mix the two, right? Because some of us are saying that. It's like a sheep-goat thing. We're like trying to sound like sheep. We're using words like, sanctification and blessings and hallelujah, right? We just say that. We want to sound like sheep, but we're living like goats. And so in the end, are there goats and sheep? Yes. Okay? And a lot of us want to go to that. Okay. Well, praise God, I'm a sheep. You guys are living like goats. How could I do that? How could I, in my right mind, sit here and tell you that garbage like people have told me? Because your lives are not changing, and being a Christian looks like a really crappy thing to do. And that's no wonder that the churches aren't running over and filled. So I don't want to sit here and celebrate, I'm saved and they're not, yay, hallelujah. Let's pray in tongues and dance around. That's not what I'm here to do. And eat pizza. Like, let's start living like sheep. Let's start living like sheep, because what's the point of doing this just to pat ourselves on the back? So is that true, they're sheep or they're goats? Yeah, but I don't know which one is which. I think I know, Jim, but I don't know, brother. I'm not Jesus. I see your heart. I see the evidence in you. And I believe, man, you're going to be on the right-hand side. You're going to be in the kingdom with God. I believe that with all my heart, but I don't know because I'm not Jesus and I don't save you. And thank you, Jesus, I don't have to make that decision. Okay? So let's throw that garbage behind. Throw all that theology stuff behind and let's get down to this truth. How are you going to live and who are you going to follow? How are you going to live and who are you going to follow? How is your heart? Are you helping those people in tough spots? Do you care about the forgotten or ignored or misunderstood? Are you one of those? Well, the heart of God is that we would care about those people. What do I do if I'd have no care? Well, you're going to say pray on, aren't you? Well, yeah. But I propose to you that we begin to pray in a different way than many of us know. Pray in a way that we ask God to lead us through his Holy Spirit, that he would teach us, transform us, and help us to see what's going on. And it just changes the posture, guys, because then I get mad and it's like, not like, I'm mad and it's their fault. Now it's like, wait, I'm feeling mad. Like, read me, Jesus. I need to know because punching that wall is not a good idea, right? Oh, man, I'm feeling lust. Well, it's touchy-feely. Well, I have feelings. In this garbage, they don't matter. It's not working. Us lying about that, like how you feel doesn't matter. It's not all that matters, but it's where you start. Because truth is important. Wisdom is important. But when you are hurting, good truth and wisdom is not going to heal you without compassion. I believe it's one of the main reasons why Jesus had to come to earth and walk so that he could. We have a Savior who sympathizes with us and who's been through everything that we've been through. So back to that thought. What I propose to you is if you're not a sheep, then that's a whole other matter. But let me talk about this. I believe more people would stop goat living and come to living like a sheep if those of us who were sheep would act like it. It would just be organic, right? It would just happen. It would just be the fruit of our life. It'd be the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in us. You don't try to have peace and self-control, you know? In all the fruits of the Spirit, it's not effort. You believe. You choose to believe this day. You choose to choose God. You choose to be one with him. You choose to let the Holy Spirit take control. And this stuff comes out of you. You just notice that guy over there no one's talked to. Right? Someone who's abiding, that's the word, right? It doesn't make sense in our language, but I believe this is. I'm focused on Jesus. I'm abiding in him. I'm connected to him. And so I have his power. And if I see you crying, good luck. Good luck if I'm in connection with God that I would actually keep walking and ignore you. At the very least, I would want to make sure that you were okay. Right? The only exception is as you just feel the Spirit say, no, keep walking. And then you'd still be doing that in obedience. Does that make sense? Will, you're throwing so much at us. It is so much. Because we have such broken and wrong belief systems, my friends. And I want those reset. And I want them to be retaught by God because that's what I want in my life and in yours. That's why I'm saying this is a message to the sheep who are living like goats. Well, how do I do it? Oh, man. This is, to be honest with you, this is frustrating sections of scripture for me because it's that like evidence of your salvation is works. And that is hard to preach because it gets confusing even for me. As I become more aware of what's going on in me, I realize this, and let me just share this with you, is I believe that, okay, I believe that your ability to love me is a gift, okay? I believe that there's no way I could 100% earn the love of anyone. That over years and years, I will fail you, and if you guys stay long enough, you're going to be disappointed in me. I guarantee it, okay? Grace, mercy that comes from God will pour out of you to me, And only in that can we be friends and love one another. Okay? Does that make sense? What I'm saying? But I've learned so many things the wrong way and have so many belief systems that I'm what they call a people pleaser and one whose predominant relational style is moving towards. And so I'm constantly trying to come out here to meet you for your love. Not all the way, because I know I can't earn your love all the way, but I'm under this wrong belief that I can come part of the way and earn your love. Does that make sense too? You see what that looks like? It's neediness. It's I care what people think about me. So God is transforming this in me because what it's done is it's bled over to how I see God. I feel like God can love me when I get there. Like, I'm not going to earn salvation, you see, but I better go feed the homeless so I can come right here and then his grace and mercy can catch me. Like, the arms of his grace and mercy aren't long enough to reach me where I'm at now. And if I'm being honest, which I want to be more than anything, that is a wrong belief system that I want to undo in my life. So when I see these scriptures, it's hard because I feel like those, I get thinking about works, right? Oh man, I really want to be a sheep. I really want to be a sheep. You're right, Pastor. I haven't been caring about the homeless so that I focus on the work. If I can go to the homeless shelter, that's where God is going to meet me. Once again, the problem with that is pretty much the entire Bible. Once again, right? Even the hole I'm in, God will come to me and get me. So what's the answer to this? How do you stop being goat-like and sheep-like? I think the first thing is what I would call a holy pause. And then that go, 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 get it, busyness of life, and I am with you in that. Stillness, quiet, and pause. I'm awful at those. But you know who's good at those? Jesus, right? But Jesus, they're here, man. You healed those guys last night. They heard what you said. There's a crowd out there. Let's go get up, man. Get up. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Starts walking. Where are you going, Jesus? Oh, we're leaving. What? Like what? Right? There's all this good stuff to do. No, we're leaving. It's stillness time. It's stillness time because I need to reset, to realign, to reconnect and abide with the power of my Father. And see, that shepherd is saying, Will, let me lead you, right? He leads me, as King David, a go-getter himself, would say, and he leads me beside still waters. So be lazy, Will? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no shortcut for following Jesus. There is no shortcut. And so this is going to take a while. So you're going to keep hearing me say, you know, worship leaders, when I talk to you, and they're like, well, what are you preaching about? Well, Jesus. Think about Jesus and we're going to be okay. Because in the end, we come back to this. Like Jesus is the good shepherd. And it says this, right, in John 10:10. And I was going to read all that to you, but instead, let me just say this. Here's what's important. He's like, listen, guys. He goes, I'm here. And before me came people that were lying to you. They were here in it for themselves. And, you know, they weren't coming. They were jumping over the fence to take advantage of the sheep. And you know anyone jumping over the fence to take advantage of the sheep has bad intentions for you. But says me, I'm a good shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. And I'm the gate. And through me is where the sheep will be led out into the pasture to find life and to find it abundantly. He says, and I'm the gatekeeper. Those who come would come through me who have good intentions. And so this metaphor, if you will, this picture, if you want to call it that, that Jesus is the shepherd is awesome, but often lost on cultures who don't understand shepherding. And so I feel that lesson for us, that I'm going to invite the worship team to come up in a little bit, and not to overcomplicate it, If you're like me, if you feel a little bit of the goat in you, right? You're like, wow, I kind of do that. I guess if I step back, would you guys begin to look at yourselves? And if I step back and say, I'm living my life in such a way that I want Jesus to follow me where I'm going and make everything okay. Instead of me following him. And knowing that where he's going to take me is okay. And it's hard. It's hard. And I don't think today that you say, I'm going to do that, and then it just automatically happens. Poof. Wow. Well, I prayed, man. And it's like all those things that were a burden before, gone. It's just easy now. That is not how it works. And so we'll be together next Sunday, if not before then, and we'll be talking more about this. And I hope between now and then, you're continuing to think about this and you're continuing to spend time with the Lord, that you can understand what's going on inside of you. And so if you are that person, and I don't want you to sit here like fear, guilt, and shame, that's not where a Christian stays. Do you feel those things? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you do with that, right? Guilt, shame, where does that belong? That was taken care of by Jesus on the cross. That's where it belongs, the guilt and the shame. What about the fear? What does the Bible say about fear? Perfect love casts out fear. Where do you go to find perfect love? Jesus. So you're not your spouse or like your boss. Yeah, Jesus. So once again, if I bring it back, let me ask you, if you really look at your life, do you see that goat-like behavior? Worship team, would you guys come on up while we're wrapping up here? Do you see that goat-like behavior? Would it be fair to say, Jesus, I have seen you in such a wrong way. You're not the good goat herder for a reason. The reality of following you isn't that you follow me and you make everything okay and keep me from destroying myself and everyone around me. That's not this relationship. That your invitation is that you would be Lord, that you would be a shepherd, and that, okay, I need healing in this area. I need to beat addiction. Well, it's got to be works for that, right? It's a program. Well, not without the good shepherd leading you through it. Because that gate, that jumping the fence to do that, is not the path to life. I have relationship problems with a spouse or a child or my parents. And like, I just want them to stop being this way. Or maybe if I manipulate the situation and do different, I'll get healing. No, no, no. There's only one way, and it's through that gate, which is Jesus. It's right behind him. So let's go down with the lights and let's pray. And let me just say this. If you need prayer, if you need to just tell somebody something, you know, confession to a brother, if God's been working on you in some area and you want him to complete that work in you, and you want someone to pray with you, would you come up to the front and just come see me? And then if it's a bunch of people, I know that the elders and stuff will come up and pray with you too. It's important that you address these things. So Lord Jesus, here is my question. I want this more than words through our intellect. I want to chew on this. I want to chew on it. And some of it's hard to swallow. But I want to swallow it. I want it to be part of who I am. I want to be a sheep. I want to be a sheep. I don't know the way all this works, but I want to be a sheep, and I want to follow you. But let me be honest, I haven't. I feel ashamed of that because I've had good people tell me truth and I still seem to do this way. God, I want to do parenthood my way, and there's social media and TV and friends telling you the way to do it. Man, I'd love to do marriage my way because there's things I want out of it, God, and I feel like if I follow you through the gate, that it's going to be something less than beautiful. I want my health to be a certain way, and I don't want to do that your way either, or church, how we do that, or how I live, or how I spend money, or how I take care of my body, how I interact with my parents and my brothers and sisters. I've been wanting to do that my way. Like some goat. And I look back already, God, in the years of life I have and the harm I've caused, like some goat who's got bite holes and all the things around me, the people I love and the home, and I've hurt them because I've tried to do it my way, and I want it good for them too, but I mostly want it good for me. And so these goat horns that I give to you, Lord, I ask that you remove them from my head and that you would lead me. To live as a follower of you. To live slower and focused on you. That you are the good shepherd and you know me because I'm your sheep. I know that you do. And that I know you and I know your voice. And that as we walk together more and more, I would understand it clearer and clearer. And I thank you for revealing that. And so I pray this over my brothers and sisters, that we could do this together over the next weeks and months and years, and that we would be people that love you and that become more and more aware of what's going on around us and in us. That we could love our God with everything that we have, and we could love our neighbors because we already love ourselves from loving you. And then all of a sudden the homeless, they would have food, right? And like somebody would come to church or whatever and they would be alone and somebody would say hi, or just somebody at the grocery store, you would just acknowledge them, or the guy with the sign on the street. I mean, I don't know, do you give him money or not? I don't know, God. I don't think it's a principle, but why wouldn't I look him in the eyes? That I would love my wife and my kids and my friends to be more like you. And so, Lord, I ask you just to captivate us with your goodness as we sing these songs to you, that you would speak to us and lead us. Oh, Jesus, the name above all names, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen.